I don't know if you've been to the opticians recently, but a woman walked into the opticians and she said to the optician, I don't know what you call an optician, it's not doctor, is it? She said to him, I've noticed, she said, that I have a problem with my eyesight. And he said to her, he said, when did you first notice that you had a problem with your eyesight? Well, she said, it started when I began to find my husband attractive. So how's your eyesight this morning? Have you been to Specsavers recently? Well, we're not just talking here about physical eyesight. A lady called Helen Keller, wonderful artist, a writer, a political commentator, she had a mysterious illness when she was very young, which made her blind and deaf. Helen Keller is famous for not allowing her disabilities to limit her. She went on to be a fantastic inspiration for people. And she once said, what is worse than having eyesight? She said, what is worse than having eyesight is having eyes but being unable to see. We can have eyes but we cannot see. We cannot see spiritually. You see, spiritual eyesight is the ability to see the invisible. When you have natural eyesight, you know, hopefully, you can know the difference between a dog and a sheep. And you're not going to shear the dog when you should be shearing the sheep. So you can see when you have physical eyesight. But this morning, I'm talking about spiritual eyesight. Paul, the apostle, prays regularly and constantly for the churches that he had founded, and even some that he hadn't founded. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, and to the Colossians at the beginning of his epistles. And his prayer on each occasion is effectively, Lord, would you open their eyes? In Ephesians, he says, I keep asking. You know, he didn't say, I ask once. He said, I keep asking. In your prayers, do you keep asking? The most courageous prayer that you could ever make is the prayer that you have prayed 1,000 times and still it hasn't been answered. The most courageous prayer that you can make is the prayer that overcomes discouragement. You've prayed it many times. You've been on your knees. You've sought God. And still, the prayer hasn't been answered. God wants to say to you this morning, keep asking. Be courageous. Go on being bold. Because Paul said, I keep asking Maybe he had to keep asking because they kept not seeing. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need wisdom and revelation. Revelation is like having a curtain or a veil drawn back from before your eyes. And the Spirit of God can take away our spiritual, our eyesight imperfections, so that we can, as the Bible says, we can know him better. In other words, have more insight into God. In Philippians 1:9, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. We may know what is good and not good, but God wants us to be able to discern what is best for our lives. Short-sightedness leads us to make decisions that we might think are good, but God knows they are not best. We need to pray that God would open our eyes, that we may know what is best. And then in Colossians, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." Wow. Do we stop praying for each other? We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. These things I'm talking about this morning, knowledge of God, knowledge of what is best, knowledge of the will of God, these are things that are only discerned spiritually by the spiritual person. So with spiritual insight, you have the ability to see the invisible. These are invisible things I'm talking about. Knowing God, knowing his will, knowing what is best. Through spiritual insight, you can know forgiveness of your sins. You can know healing of your body. You can see potential in another human being that nobody else can see. But because you have spiritual eyesight, you can see something in that person of potential that God can use. And you can be a great encourager when you learn to open your spiritual eyes, because you can see the amazing things that God has put within his people that lie there dormant, that need a word of insight, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge or wisdom in order to bring that quality out in that person. So let's just look this morning at God. Paul prayed that we may be able to know him better. Now we sing a song when we come into church called "Our God is a Great Big God." And it goes something like this: "Our God..." Do you want me to sing it? No. "Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than the skyscraper." Now, that is an underestimate, guys. He's a lot higher, as I'm going to show you this morning, than a skyscraper. He's higher than the skyscraper, and he's deeper than the submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And he's known me, and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be part of God's amazing plan. So my question to you this morning is, how big is your God? Just how big do you see God? Some people see God as smaller than them. Some people see God as smaller than their problem. Some people see God as smaller than their bill or their financial difficulty. Some of us see God as smaller than our illness. Some people see God as smaller than our sin or our guilt or our condemnation. So what God do you see this morning? Do you see a God that is bigger than all those things? Well, let me talk a little bit this morning and let us consider who God is. Well, in Isaiah chapter 55, it talks about the mind of God. How big is God's mind? It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Your best thought on your best day doesn't even approximate to the mind of God. And we puff ourselves up with our thoughts. Our best comes nowhere near God's worst. There is such a span between us as the heavens are higher than the earth. And we're going to talk about the extent of the heavens in a moment. But just keep that in mind. Think of his strength in Isaiah 40. He says he will not grow weary or tired. Wow, we get weary and tired all the time. Yeah? We go for a walk in the woods and we come back. And we are tired, so we have to have a rest. We do a day's work. We can't go to the meeting. We're tired. We go to bed. That's us. We get tired. We grow weary and we get tired. Life gets us down. We have so much to do. But the Bible says he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. Are you weary this morning? He gives you strength. And increases the power of the weak. Even young people, even youth, grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Why? Because he has an abundance of strength. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about God's size. How big is God? Well, you know, when you talk about God, you've got to forget about inches and feet and centimeters and even kilometers. You measure God and the extent of his universe not in feet and inches, but in light years. Okay? A light year. So it's how far does light travel in a year? Well, God created light, and light left God's mouth at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's a bit faster than Lewis Hamilton, by the way. 186,000 1,000 miles a second. In a year, light travels 5.88 plus 12 trillion miles. That's how far light travels in a year. Now, our nearest star, if you like, in our Milky Way galaxy is called the Sun. Our nearest star is the Sun, so take it back one. The Sun is 93 million miles away from us. And so you might think, well, I could get a plane and go to the Sun. I'll get on a Boeing 747 and traveling at 550 miles an hour. Do you know how long it's going to take you to get to the Sun? It's going to take you 19 years. That's how far away the Sun is. And that's our nearest star. So in God's universe, distances are ginormous, and we're only getting started. Our nearest star outside of the Milky Way is called Proxima Centauri B. And if at any time soon you are considering getting on a spaceship and going to Proxima Centauri B, find a spaceship. Okay, one of the fastest spaceships we've got at the moment can travel at 56,000 miles an hour, 56,000 kilometers, or 45,000 miles. It would take you 81,000 years to travel the 4.2 light years to that star. That's 81,000 years. That's 2,700 generations into the future before you got there, if you live that long. So we are talking here about space that is ginormous. So how many stars? So that's one star. How many stars are there in the universe, approximately, if you count them? Well, in the Milky Way, which is our galaxy, it is estimated that there are 100 billion stars. Now, in the universe, it is estimated, roughly, give or take one or two, that there are 10 trillion galaxies. Now, I can't even count that. I don't even know how many noughts you put on the end of 10 trillion. But you want to find how many stars there are in the galaxies, you take 10 trillion and you multiply it by 100 billion. And so what you get there is the number one, that's the easy bit, followed by 24 noughts. That's the number of stars in the known universe. And astronomers tell us, scientists tell us, that is a gross underestimate. So what is the size of the observable universe? Well, if you were to travel from one end of the universe to the other, it would take you 46 billion light years across. So you take 46 billion and you multiply that by 5.88 trillion, and I'm going to leave you do the maths on that one. Okay? So what are we saying? We are saying that the universe, the known universe, is ginormous. It's incredible. It's beyond our understanding and beyond our comprehension. And of course the question is, you get to the end of the known universe, what is there then? What's out there? Is it just empty space that goes on and on and on? When I was a boy, I used to sit in bed and I used to think about infinity. And how far can I go? I'm still going. We don't know how big it is. But the amazing thing is, listen to this, next slide. All of that, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, it says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breath of his hand marked out the heavens?" So when God was creating the heavens or the universe, God put his hand out and he said, "There." The breath of his hand is contains all that I've been speaking about, that 1 plus 24 noughts of stars. It's in his. How big is God? How amazing is God? He created all of this. God marked out all of that and probably much more by the width of his hand. By the width of his hand. Now this morning, I want you to enlarge the image of your God. We're not talking here about some gray-haired old man with a white beard sitting on the clouds. We are talking about an awesome person. Not a person with a body, because God does not have a body. That's why he's everywhere. At the same time, he is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. So I want us this morning to consider again who God is, but more importantly, perhaps not more importantly, but importantly, consider again your problem. Consider again your bill. Consider again your illness. And take that little bill and hold it up against God. You know, that's what David did with Goliath. The Israelites, what did they do? They looked at Goliath and they looked at themselves. Who was smaller? They were smaller. Result? Fear. Intimidation. Look at your problem, look at yourself. Result? Intimidation. Fear. Look at your problem, look at God. Result? Faith. Overcoming. Provision. Healing. Comfort. Mercy. Forgiveness. So, consider your complaint, consider your illness, consider your sin, consider that relationship problem that you have. I want to say this morning, there is an answer. Our God is a great big God. Not only is he higher than the skyscraper, he measured the universe in the span of his hand. So, in the mind of God, whatever your problem is, that mind is so big, so large, so ginormous, so creative, so inventive, there is an answer somewhere for your problem. There is an answer for your problem. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. I want to say to you this morning, because of God, you can keep climbing. We camp We camp as a church. We camp as individuals. Why? Because our picture of God isn't big enough. Our God is a great big God. He's deeper than the submarine. He's wider than the universe. And beyond my wildest dreams. And you know what? He's known you and he loves you since before the world began. How wonderful it is to be part of God's amazing plan. So in the mind of God, there is an answer. In the arm of God, there is strength. Whatever you're going through at the moment, plug into God. Because in God, there is strength. And in the size of God, there is victory. There is victory in the size of God. So this morning, how is our eyesight? What do we see? So as we finish, we pray very simply. We say, Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation that we may know you better, that we may not be intimidated, that we may not be fearful, but that we may be full of faith and victory and power. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray, so that we may see the best thing that you have for us. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we may be able to see your will for our lives. Not what we think is your will, not what we presume is your will, but what you say is your will for our lives. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see your provision for our bodies, for our souls, and for our spirits.